Ready?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, to the rescheduled regular meeting. It's October 22nd, 2018, and welcome to the council meeting. I would like to ask Pastor Dan Keck from the Curry Beach Memorial Lutheran Church if he would lead us in an invocation and the Star Spangled Banner.
Thank
Not
you.
The Star Spangled Banner. Can you pledge allegiance to the flag?
Am I singing today?
Yes.
You did not tell me this.
Pledge allegiance to the flag. I apologize.
I'll start the rest of the meeting.
See, I had to loosen it all up for you.
Well, this is great that so many people that are so important to this town are here this evening. Because I have a verse from Proverbs. It goes, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. And I think about the teamwork that this town does together. And, you know, I was thinking back to the hurricane and, you know, all the decisions that were made and all the, you know, everybody working together to kind of do what was best for this community and, you know, keeping things up and running and making sure everybody was safe and everything was ready before people came back from the storm. And I think about decisions that are made here and all the things that go on and how important it is that, you know, we work together and you know, you guys come together to have conversation about what decisions are the right ones for this community. And it's just, I'm so thankful to be a part of this town, about this community, and so thankful for really all of you folks who, you know, the fire department, police department, the council, you know, and everybody that does so much for this town. So I want to express my thankfulness for me and my family, and I'm sure I speak for many people that live here. So,
thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for this evening. Thank you for all those who are out and gathered tonight. Thank you especially for the town council who worked so hard to make the decisions for this community, for this town, what's best for those who live here, those who visit. And Lord, we pray that you would guide them, give them wisdom to make the decisions they need to make as we continue to move forward in this life and in our time together. All these things that we pray through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
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 Oh, say.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor. Okay, first item, approval of the consent agenda items. Any changes to the consent agenda from the council? Well, I have a change to the agenda. I would like to take item number 3, closing town hall at noon on Wednesday, November 22nd. I would like to move that to new business. I want to talk about that particular event, which is for the appreciation of our workers.
Second.
Okay, we have a second. How about a motion?
I thought you were making one.
No.
I'll make a motion that we pull item number 3 off the consent agenda and move it to new business.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, David.
Finally.
Yep. Adoption of the agenda. Do I have any recommended changes to the agenda?
Make a motion to approve adoption of the agenda.
Well, we have to move we have to move the celebration appreciation luncheon to item number 4 under new business. So I move we add celebration appreciation luncheon to discussion and consideration of new business as item number 4. May I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Now, award presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know why everyone is here, but I do know why a good many of you are here this evening. And we're actually taking this moment to honor one of our own, who you may know, who has given so much to this town freely. I'm going to read to you the application to the governor's office for the Old North State Award for Mr. Jim Dugan. Mr. Jim Dugan started with the town of Curie Beach Fire Department as a volunteer firefighter in October of 1996. After retiring from over three decades of service as a firefighter with the Toledo, Ohio Fire Department, he continues to serve as a volunteer firefighter today, 22 years later. Since joining the Curie Beach Fire Department, he has been the training officer for both the Fire Department and the Ocean Rescue Division. Mr. Dugan has trained more than 400 lifeguards in CPR and other activities and has also trained over 60 firefighters. This training assisted the Curie Beach Fire Department in becoming a much higher trained and professional department than most towns of similar size. Mr. Dugan also serves on the Fire Department Board of Commissioners and the Relief Fund Board of Commissioners. It is safe to say that Mr. Dugan has made a huge contribution of his time to serving the town. Mr. Dugan served as an elected official on the town council from 1999 to 2011, and again from 2016 to 2017 for a total of 14 years service to council. During this time, he served in the position of mayor pro tem as well. He is so dedicated that when he left as commissioner, he continued to oversee the completion of the Oceanfront Park project that the town began while he was on council. He donated countless volunteer hours to this project. Mr. Dugan continues to train town staff in CPR and offers the same training to the community every year. He is a volunteer and serves on the governing board of the Federal Point Historic Preservation Society. Mr. Dugan is a volunteer diver at the North Carolina Fort Fisher Aquarium, has been a volunteer diver with the North Carolina State Archaeology Natural and Cultural Underwater Archaeology Branch for many years, and has dived for the state on Blackbeard's ship. He could ask him about those stories. That at the time they put plastic gold in there to come up through and onto the barge and got everybody excited. Ask him about that story. That's kind of typical of Jim. Mr. Dugan possesses an easygoing personality. Oh, who wrote that? And is one of those rare individuals that gives his time for the pleasure of serving and not for his ego or his own hidden agenda. He embodies a person that had a career in public service and continued to make the same contribution in his retirement years. He has served the town of Curie Beach and the citizens for a total of 22 plus years and is still going strong. He is well respected by all and certainly deserving of the governor's prestigious Old North State Award. So, Jim, Jane, would you come up here, please? So, Jim, on behalf of a grateful town and a grateful state, I give to you, signed by the governor of North Carolina, the Old North State Award. Congratulations.
Since we got here. So it was nothing unusual. It was a labor of love, still is. So, well, I appreciate you stopping and calling me Mr. Dugan.
A lot of other things, Jim.
I like most of them better than Mr. Dugan. But thank you very much, all of you. Appreciate it.
Okay. We're going to take 15 minutes to give everyone time to congratulate Mr. Dugan and go ahead in the back room or the back conference room. And there are some beverages and some cupcakes and some things in there. So please be our guest. That's the most important words tonight. Say congratulations, Jim. All right. Now, the only other thing that I would make, and then we'll close this segment, is, Jim, you owe me big time because I did not let them roast you.
Yeah, I make a motion to
adjourn. Second.
Yeah, well, you can't make a motion anymore, Jim. The only motion you can make is towards the door. Okay, discussion and consideration of persons to address council. Nancy, do we have anybody signed up to address council?
Yes. Thank
you. Ken Bedouin. Ken.
Thank you.
State your name and address, please.
I'm Ken Bedouin. I live at 8123 Bahia 100 Drive, off the bridge.
Okay.
But I go to St. Paul's on the bridge, so I don't over this bridge. Besides, I feel like I'm part of the community.
Okay. What would you like to tell us tonight?
Huh?
What would you like to tell us this evening?
I would like to discuss, and I'm going to hand this out to you, our new building. I want to give you an update on our new community life center for the St. Paul's Church.
You want me to show it to on a computer?
This would be fine.
As some of you know, St. Paul's is Methodist Church on Hopper. The other pumpkin church, you know, the small pumpkin church. We have contracted for and signed the papers for and should start construction fairly soon for a 7,500-foot community life center. It's important for the community as a whole, not just for St. Paul's. Any non-profit or profit can use it. Of course, a for-profit, I expect to make some money with it. Mm-hmm. 7,500 square feet, two fully electronic classrooms. We can seat 233 people for dinner, 500 for concerts. Fully wired, digital. All the bathrooms, or two large bathrooms, we have showers. Can you see what we can use it for? We can use it for a shelter, because it's built to those standards. And I wrote an article, if you notice, the second page, what if, for the Arden Gazette. What if we had that building now? We could have put a lot of people up. We could have electricity. We could have communications. And we think it's important to support us. I live across the bridge, so please don't throw stones at me. I live in Windswept, right next to the gate. But I feel more part of this community, Kiri Beach and Carolina Beach, mainly because since day one, we were going to St. Paul's, and old Steve Hall blessed our home and invited me. And I was trustee, and I really feel part of it. On November 10th, between about 11:30 and 5, we had a food truck auction. Food truck rodeo and silent auction. If you understand, if you ever bought some lumber from Home Depot in the past month or two, it's escalated. You know, it's 15% increase. So the original budget, without no changes, has about 10 to 15%. So I hope to make a few dollars to put towards that. We're going to have mostly a silent auction. I have a live auction, bands, entertainment all day, and Carolina Beach even closed 3rd Street between Hopper and Lumberton. And it's going to be rain or shine, a huge tent, and we want to invite the whole community. But I want you to understand, Curry Beach is part of us. If you guys would like to have it, the council, somebody have a big dinner there, a play, we're going to allow Curry Beach, Carolina Beach Elementary School, to use our facilities for their auditorium and put on plays and things to me. Because we're part of the community. And we're the pumpkin church, the other pumpkin church. But we're different because all our pumpkins sales go to the community, to the kids on the island, for Christmas presents. We don't use any of it for ourselves. So I think it's important. You know, Methodists say discipleship, but it's not discipleship. It's being human, reaching out. There's more poverty within, especially in Carolina Beach area, within a mile of that church, that we can reach out for to help. So that's it. Is there any questions? Or
so, Ken, so based on this, your point is that St. Paul's is putting up a building. There's an event on Saturday, November 10th that yes. The entire island is invited to.
The entire island is invited to use it. The entire island is invited to come to St. Paul's. We have people from Curry Beach. A couple people that I know, you people know intimately, go to St. Paul's.
So, okay. Well, thank you very much. Any questions on this?
Okay. Come on and see us.
Thank you.
I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Ken.
Less than 10 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah. I gave you 3. You used 4, but that was close.
I'm getting that down there. I usually talk. I'm a Yankee, so I try to talk fast and say a lot. But
4.5 now.
Wait, no, you got to get a story.
See ya. Bye-bye. Okay, Rebecca Blackmore.
Randy Canoe to say, all rise. I walked by him a minute ago and I said, Andy, when I stand up to speak, you cannot say objection or I will say overruled. He was kind. I'm Rebecca Blackmore. I live here at Curry Beach in Ocean Dunes, 2302A Surfrider Circle is my address. I came tonight to say thank you. I'm glad to see so many people from the town are here, the police chief, the building inspector, town employees, city council. I evacuated during the hurricane and went to Charlotte. And I was there almost 2 weeks. And the way that I knew what was going on down here was from the email communications I was getting from the town. And I wanted you all to know how much I appreciated that, how informative it was, and how helpful. And while I was gone, the police department, the fire department, were here protecting my property. The city public works employees were draining out the sewers or the water lines or whatever they had to do to make it so that I could come back home as soon as possible. You all actually got open long before I could come back home because of the flooding and the roads being blocked. But I wanted to just take a few minutes to say thank you. As a resident, I appreciate it. The communication meant so much to me when I was away, and it was fantastic. So my kudos are to all of you. Thank you for what you've done all the time, and especially during school. I'll just have to tell you, that the police department, they are down where I live from time to time. Not a lot, but from time to time. Thank goodness I haven't seen the fire department since I've been there, but y'all have been there before. But these guys are responsive. They come quickly. They deal with the emergency that's going on. They do it professionally and respectfully and let folks know what they need to know, but keep away those that need to stay out of what they're trying to do. So we are very blessed in this community to have the public employees that we have and the city council that we have to keep this place going as well as it does.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. So thank you very much for recognizing the hard work from the staff. Discussion and David, do you have any questions?
No,
All right. Discussion and consideration of presentations to council. Do we have any presentations, Nancy?
No.
No? All right. Discussion and consideration of committee business. Community Center Committee. No representative this evening. Marketing Committee. Planning and Zoning Commission. Chairman Galbraith, welcome.
Yes, thank you. I sent an email around, just a couple quick things. The commission will have two things coming to the council probably over the next month or two. One is simply a definition having to do with a monument sign, pretty straightforward. Another has to do with use of accessory buildings. And so I just want to kind of warn that we will have that coming forward. But what I really want to do is, I sent an email about, is that it's been suggested that there's interest in basically maintaining the downtown area here with that, you know, keeping a village type of look to that particular business community in the downtown. And so it was brought to the PMZ's last meeting to maybe think about some methods to try to do this. So we've done some research, and many beach communities have done this. You know, I'm guessing, I mean, just a real quick Google search shows that, you know, literally hundreds of beach communities are struggling with the same issue, where they have kind of a downtown area that's more of a village looking area, and how to address that from a P&Z perspective. Generally, the way that's done is what is called an overlay district, where you basically take a district that has some characteristics. It can either be a very strict one in terms of defining architectural design, landscaping, these sort of things, or it can be a fairly broad one that simply has a few regulations associated with it, and then you overlay that on top of the business district. We already have an overlay district here in Curie Beach. It's on K Avenue, which was the mixed-use overlay district that we looked at a couple years ago. So we already have precedent for something like that. I think all the P&Z is in favor of looking at this and coming up with a recommendation or proposal for the council. That would be for an overlay district. But doing an overlay district does take a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of research to do it properly and to write it properly. So before we get started on that, I was suggesting that the council provide an actual directive or a approval to proceed with doing this type of research and coming up with a proposal. Basically, it's to research and develop an overlay proposal recommendation for the business district in order to preserve the village nature of the Curie Beach downtown. Because again, we do want a directive to be able to do this and have a feeling that there's support by the council before we embark on probably several months of work associated with this.
What do we, Craig, what do we give up if we go to an overlay type district? Do we
don't give up anything.
Don't give up any control or?
No. Right now, basically, the only thing that is defining that particular area is what is zoning. So there are some use characteristics, and there's a general zoning. So somebody could come in there, as long as they satisfy the zoning requirements, they could pretty much do whatever they want. An overlay district typically has some other type of regulations where it could be architectural design, it could be additional signage, it could be landscaping, it'd be a variety of things to try to maintain an existing look for a particular area. That's just overlaid on top of it. So if somebody goes in and actually tries to buy a building and maybe, or dock it down and build something new there, not only do they have to satisfy the zoning requirements, would be the underlying zoning requirements, but they would also have to satisfy what the overlay district is. Typically that involves a special use permit if they want to do something that would be different, something like that. So it's an approval process. You simply overlay other restrictions to maintain or to get one whatever look that you're interested in doing that.
On a special use permit, how is that controlled? I mean,
a special use permit would come to P&Z and then to the council. So the special use permit basically says, okay, if you're going to do something, you have to satisfy these type of regulations, and then you have a special use, associated with that, or a conditional use permit.
If you wished to do something that was beyond the district rules, how would you do that?
That would require an exception. So if you have an overlay that has some architectural characteristics, let's take a very simple one. It says that all buildings have to be blue. Okay, so let's say you have an overlay that has something like that. Now, obviously, we wouldn't have that. But let's say you had an overlay district that said all buildings had to be blue. If somebody wanted to go and come in and paint it yellow, that would be an exception to the overlay district, and they'd have to apply for an exception that would go to the council to be able to approve. But the idea of the overlay district then is you provide an additional set of rules and regulations that would maintain a look or create a look that you want in that particular area. You know, again, it's very, very standard for beach communities, mountain communities to have kind of a village look, to have an overlay district on top of their zoning.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely. Go ahead, Jim. David, sorry.
That's all right.
I was thinking of Mr. Dugan.
Craig, number one, who brought this to P&Z? I assume it wasn't one of the four business owners that own the business district.
No, it was Mr. Whit.
It was a conversation we had with Craig and I had that we brought it forward.
And so has P&Z talked to the, I think it's four, but maybe it's five owners of property in the P1 district about their thoughts about this?
No, we haven't. We didn't want to start on that process until we get an approval to do that. That certainly would be part of the process.
I'm a little concerned. This is basically limiting them on what, they're already limited to 35 feet from, I don't know, 15 years ago or something, and now the P&Z is talking about adding on additional limitations to what they can do with their property. That's why I want to understand what's pushing this so I can understand it better.
Yeah, I would have to say that I am a little bit behind some of this stuff that is occurring, but it was with this question. Do we as a community want to preserve our business district where we enjoy food, where we enjoy friendship, where our children are employed? And right now, I think within that zoning, if somebody knocks the building down, we could put up a big mini motel.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, no, I agree.
So the point being is we do need to talk to the business owners, but what do we want to preserve downtown? Do we want more super homes like they put in next to the... next to our park, or do we want to make sure that we maintain the characteristics of that downtown? So an overlay district, that's why I was asking questions. I was trying to determine, I mean, how restrictive is stuff like that? And I think before you go any further, I think council, because you're right, it would take a lot of effort, and I don't want to, we have excellent people on P&Z, I don't want to get y'all spun up on something until we have maybe a firm description of where we want to go with it.
Well, you know, the overlay district is the mechanism. Overlay district doesn't establish the design characteristics and things like that. It's simply the mechanism to have design characteristics or other characteristics that you want to have to preserve, let's say, the village or that downtown type of feel. The overlay district could have architectural characteristics. It could have signage. It could have landscaping. It could have use. It could have... You know, you, for example, could say, well, you can't, you know, have a drive-through restaurant, you know, or something like that. There's a variety of things you could put there. But so the overlay district is just a mechanism. In order to decide to maintain or what you need to have to maintain the feel that we have right now would require talking to the local business people, probably talking to local residents here as to the feel that they would want, kind of getting feedback from the town council, looking to see what other communities have done in order to establish these type of characteristics, you know, within the overlay district. We are certainly quite willing to be able to do that. And clearly you have to talk to the local business people and get a sense of that. But we're quite willing to do that. But before we get started on anything, we want to see if there's an interest on the part of the council to maintain that kind of village feel for the downtown community. And if there is, then the mechanism to do that would be an overlay district, but then we'd have to work hard to figure out what the elements would be in that overlay district in order to maintain that feel to everybody's satisfaction.
Would this be as simple as making it, you have to have a business to be in that area, and you cannot put up a house?
You could write an overlay district and make it that simple.
So does it even have to be an overlay district, or you just change the zoning from...
Changing zoning is difficult. It's a much more difficult process to change the zoning because it also would affect other parts in that business district too. So to change a zoning is actually a very, very difficult process. It's easier to accomplish what you want to accomplish with an overlay district.
That's why we did the overlay going at K Avenue.
Yeah.
Easier, so, in that matter. So, four years ago.
For exactly that.
Right when I came off P&Z.
I think it'd be worthwhile the effort to see what the community feels.
Yeah, we definitely need to do that, yes.
Yeah.
And one mechanism being the mechanism that he described, basically that's really what I was after, is how would we go after this? How would we do this?
I would say we would start with your permission. Again, we wouldn't do this without your permission or directive, but I would say we would start by holding a couple of public hearings, you know, quite frankly, that we'd hold public hearings about, you know, what is the interest in terms of
P&Z,
preserving. Yeah. P&Z would hold some open hearings in terms of talking about this. We would invite certainly the business community. We would see what other communities have done before we try to put anything down on writing or anything like that. We'd certainly get the feedback. But it is a process that would probably take 5 to 6 months to be able to come up with a recommendation. But again, we really don't want to go down that road without permission. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. I appreciate... for the moment, I would tell you that I'm going to confer with council, just get their ideas, confer with some of the business leaders downtown, see if they have any ideas, and then we'll give you guys instructions. Right now, I'm just a little reluctant to go to the district. I need to learn more about it.
Okay. Is there anything we can help you? I mean, we're pretty familiar with PNC with overlay districts.
We need to be educated on what...
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can...
I need examples of overlay districts that have been used in other beach communities to see what they look like. Some of these are fairly complex and fairly long and fairly specific, but, you know, I can certainly give you some examples, and the P&Z has reviewed these examples of some overlay districts that have been used in other beach communities to preserve the kind of downtown type of feel or village feel. We could also... have the P&Z attorney come to the next meeting and talk about overlay districts. I believe John is familiar with overlay districts. That's simply the mechanism. It's mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to deal with these type of issues as an overlay district, because an overlay district can go over multiple zones, or it can go in a smaller area than simply one zoning area. So an overlay district is very, very effective at dealing with these type of issues.
Okay. Can you send me a few examples?
Sure, absolutely.
If you would do that, and then we'll table this until probably next meeting.
Okay, and if you want to have it in the agenda, then we can, have,
If you can send me something to read, that would help me.
Sure, absolutely. Okay.
And we'll share it with the others as well.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, Craig. Appreciate it. Shoreline access. Dennis, nothing? Okay.
Dennis did send an email. We have accounted for all the signs that are missing on the beach, and that has been forwarded to Jimmy. But, of course, we're going to do nothing until after beach renourishment.
Right. Okay. What did you do with the old signs that you found?
We might auction those off.
There you go. Some of them are quite old.
Mr. Mayor, just because I haven't had a chance to get with Dennis, the Campbell Grant for E&I Avenues is just about done. The paving has finally been done. This has been one of the longest running grants. I think it started originally in 2015 or something, 16. And the solar lighting is in. So as soon as they come back tomorrow or sometime this week and strike, we will finally be able to close that grant out with Campbell. But it originated with the Shoreline Access and Parking Committee. Now you may want to look at how these lots look in comparison to your other lots.
They look nice. They're really good.
They do look good. They look good. So thank you to everybody who worked so hard to get those improvements with grant dollars, by the way. That was very good. Non-town committee reports. We don't have anyone here for non-town committee report. So... discussion and consideration of department head business administration. Nancy.
I have two things I'm going to ask you for tonight. It's related to another grant, Clean Water Management Trust Fund grant feasibility. We applied for this last year on Punch Council. We currently have in the north end of town between L and K Avenues along the dunes stormwater infiltration systems which capture and treat the first half inch of every rain event so that any pollutants or bacteria in that water is cleaned and filtered through rocks and sand and slower release into the dunes with less going into the outfalls. They were put in 2005, a collaboration effort between NCDOT Hydraulics Engineering and NC State University, because we were getting water quality alerts in those areas. We also put another one in 2012 as part of the Oceanfront Park. That big grassy hill has a huge stormwater infiltration system underneath it. So after Matthew, we had 15 outfalls on the beach that all blew out, and we had to replace those. Attended a grant meeting, and I said, would you consider some kind of planning study? Can we look at something along the same line, but in the south end of town, between E and J Avenues? We have parking lots, and we have the dunes. Can we look at something a little different that can capture more, treat more, and hold it longer so we don't have the volume going out into the outfalls? It's a little tough because nobody really knows what to do with 2 or 3 feet of rain in a couple days when we're used to inches at any rain event. But we did get a grant. It's not a huge one. Clean Water Management doesn't normally do planning grants or feasibility studies, but they would like to see us come up with something innovative. So we did get the grant. What I need tonight is our agreement from council to put in $2,508, that's our cash match, and $1,840, which is our in-kind, which is staff time. Any public works or finance will have to pay the bills and get reimbursed for that. We will again collaborate with the same partners, which I'm real excited everybody's on board with that. And LDSI is the engineering firm that will be involved with this. And again, we'll be looking at site specifics. So we will do look at where the water tables are, what the depth is, can we put something in without bothering our water system that's underneath it, and how can we capture more and hold more and treat more so that we don't have water quality alerts. I think we've had them at H and F in the last couple of years, or 2016. Additionally, when this grant, this has been another kind of long-running grant, I had sort of planned to manage this grant, but with everything else that's been happening with the construction project and other grants, I'm just not going to be able to do it. I actually had to get an extension on this grant. They've given me until May. So I have talked with Coastal Federation, North Carolina Coastal Federation. They're a nonprofit. They're very familiar with these partners. They do a lot of these projects, and they have said that they would manage the grant for me for 10% of the project. The numbers, which is $3,674. So I'm asking council to approve our match to the grant so we can move forward, and an additional $3,674 for a total of $6,182 from the stormwater fund so that we can get moving on this. All this is a study. What can we put something there? What would the design look like? Where can we find money to pay for it to be constructed and to install it? We may find that out of 6 sites, only one is a feasible site to install something, or we may find that none. E Avenue doesn't have its own outfall. It runs into F, I think. So that may be problematic. Then we would come back to council and say, we have this many sites, it'll take this much money, here's our funding options, do you want to move forward or not?
So this would be site-specific studies for each of our areas to determine a plan that we could then look for grant money to execute.
Yes.
And they're going to help us with the grant money if the reading was
right. Yes, we would come back in with Clean Water Management and apply for another grant. We'd have to have an engineer write the grant, but they would use the data from this study to write the grant. And the other thing that is really good about North Carolina Coastal Federation is they know a lot of other nonprofits that do have funding that are interested in helping with these kinds of products. So we might be able to do some kind of grant and some non-profit funding to reduce the cost. I think the original ones didn't cost a lot. Public Works did all the digging, and it was kind of a simple construct that we put in. These, if we go forward, we would probably be looking around 40,000 per site for an infiltration system, depending upon whether we put one in the parking lot to try to catch what's coming off the cars, the gas, or whatever, in that water, and in the dunes too. If they think that that's something that will help control the runoff. And we have 421. The ones on Atlantic, I don't know that runoff comes off of 421. I think it's Atlantic and those homes in that area. But that would be a question for Public Works. Okay.
Anybody have questions for Nancy?
No.
Do we need two motions or one?
Two. Well, you can do it all in one, but I need particularly the resolution 18-10 to allocate our funds.
Okay.
And
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution R-1810 to approve the matching funds, $2,508 for a clean water management trust fund grant, and to authorize the spending of $3,674 from the stormwater fund for project management services by NC Coastal Federation.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion. All right, vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Unanimous, Nancy.
Thank you.
Building Department.
Nothing, sir.
Nothing? Okay, John. Fire Department.
Nothing, sir.
All right. Finance Department.
Nothing for me.
Okay. Police Department.
Yes.
No? Public Works. Jimmy's not here, so there's nothing. Recreation?
No, sir.
Nothing? Okay. Discussion and consideration of old business. Reentry process for emergencies. Commissioner Oliver.
Well, back on September 25th, while it's fresh on our minds, Arlen and Nancy and I just had a little brainstorming session and talked about the reentry process and what we wanted to do going down the road, what we thought we would see. You've all received a copy of the email that Nancy sent out that day. This can be tweaked. This can be talked about more. I think tonight we need to come up with some directive to staff on whether we're going to use stickers or hangers on the cars to get those ordered. If I'm correct, you need to get those ordered pretty soon, don't you, Arlen? We talked about either doing the sticker or the decal. We talked about it could be used also for parking if we ever went to a citizens or a resident parking pass for that. We talked about just sending out two to every property owner so they have them. We would send it out in their first bill of the year and everybody would receive two. That way it gets away from people having to come down and sign up for them. They'd be assigned to those addresses and they could put it on their vehicles as they saw fit. Also talked about what we would charge if they needed additional stickers and if they lost their ID or lost their sticker, what we would charge. We would sell additional IDs up to August 31st of each year. And then after that, we would not sell or give out passes unless someone was a new resident from that point. Our staff here sent, four staff and a volunteer selling stickers right up, and they had a hard time getting ready to prepare for the storm and do their duties, just worrying about giving out stickers. So that was some of the things we talked about. This by no means we're set in stone on anything. We just had a brainstorming session. So opened it up for comments. Didn't receive a whole lot of information back when we sent this out, but we'd like to hear what y'all have to say about it, your thoughts.
I would have a couple thoughts. One would be this emergency reentry. I was thinking more in line about just a resident pass. Then it could be used for anything we want the residents, like parking or reentry. This says we would give two to each residence. Did we give thought to a family that has four, maybe has two teenagers.
We can tweak that. That's just the number we come up with. We can definitely go if you want to charge for the other two, or if you want to give up to four if they request it. I don't have a problem with us doing that.
I think you would need to demonstrate four owner's cards.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And or even two owner's cards if you wanted to give them two and they were only one individual, yeah. Right? And I would assume these passes might go out mid-May, maybe, just before hurricane season, so don't lose them?
No.
February?
That's what he wants to get them ordered.
We're going to send them out in January with the water bills, and everybody would have them.
We'd give them a lot longer to lose them.
Yeah.
But, okay, I mean, plant sounds like we should... Tonight we need to determine if it's a pass or a placard or something.
A hanger or a sticker.
Yes.
Yeah. I have no...
What's your preference?
I have no preference. I understand both sides of the conversation. If we did hangers and you changed cars, you would just take the hanger with you. If you were out of town and you were bringing supplies in and you were borrowing a truck, you could take that hanger and put it in the vehicle you were using. I understand that. We could have abuses in it.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, if we do go to some type of citizen parking or resident parking at some point, they could still use those for the same thing. And having a hanger to hang in the car, possibly put on the car if we're going to allow residential parking or something like mm-hmm. that. So it gives us a little more flexibility when they're hangers versus stickers on the window.
So you're more in line with the placard hanger.
Well, I like the idea, but I'm not going to go crazy if we go with stickers. I mean,
I know. I'm just looking at for what is your personal preference?
My personal preference would be the hanger.
The hangers.
Yeah.
John, you have a view on that?
Sticker.
Okay. How about you?
Sticker. We know placards will get passed around. Sticker.
Well, the very thing that makes them interesting, their mobility is also their problem.
Exactly.
Right? David.
Well, I don't have a preference either way. I just want to make sure council understands exactly the emergency management view of this issue. So we encourage people to leave, and we want to make sure that they're comfortable when they leave, that we will protect their property. And so I don't really have a big preference for whatever system we have, as long as it's easily understood by the people that we're encouraging to leave that we will protect their property and limit access to their property until they can get back. And so any system works for me. You know, everyone got mad at me, and it's probably my fault because I didn't realize that when we changed how we build, the stickers became a big problem, right? So I was there when we all got yelled at, and I'm good with that. I don't care if we give them away or whatever, but I think we need to understand exactly what the stickers are for. They're to make sure that our citizens that left feel comfortable that we are controlling access to their property until they can get back, right? And so however we do it, that's the issue. Hang tags, to me, the concern about that is if someone loses it or it gets handed off, then someone's in and people are concerned, well, my people can get my property, right? So I kind of have a little bit of a preference for stickers, but honestly, as long as we can put volunteer firemen on a roadblock or National Guardsmen on a roadblock and just tell them these are the people that are in and no one else, I don't honestly care. And as long as it's easily communicated to our citizens that, look, the reason for these is so that you are comfortable when you leave, that the town will control access to your property until you can get back and make sure it's fine after a storm. That's my only requirement for the system, right? Whether we give them to everyone for free or they charge or whatever, that's Arlen to tell us so that, you know, everyone's paying their fair share, you know. But honestly, for me, it's all about using them to help encourage people to make a good decision for a storm. And that's where I'm at. So as long as we meet that wicket, which is a pretty low threshold, I think, I'm okay with whatever we do. And so, you know, I want our citizens to feel comfortable, but I want them to make a good decision because they know the town's taking care of their stuff, right? So that's really the bar for me. I'll go with whatever you guys want. Okay. No matter how you do it, someone's going to yell at us, and I'm good with that. But honestly, they should feel comfortable that we've taken care of their property as best we can while we encourage them to make a safe decision in the storm. That's where I'm at. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have some input from the community.
Yes.
Jane.
You might consider giving people a choice of a hanger or a sticker, and however many they get at the beginning of the year, they need to understand that a replacement is going to cost them a whole lot of money. You don't make replacements cheap.
Right. That actually is part of the proposal. And the true question, I think David has hit it, is the placard so mobile that it puts property at risk because it can be taken, put in anybody's car, and if that's the primary view of what when you come up to the roadblock, that they see the access placard and let you go. Now, you could do it on, I need a truck, this is my placard, I do live here. I think with the placard, you almost also have to have them show identification.
The one thing that we did have going for us at the reentry, and David and I were down there, is the fact that people from Curie Beach, when they recognized that they had a sticker on their car, they moved right on through.
Yeah.
Carolina Beach, they had to look at their paperwork, determine that where they were. Our process moved the people through much faster and made it much easier when their cars were already identified. Whether it's a sticker or a placard, they've got identification that shows that they're allowed in. Now, if somebody wants to, if they're concerned about what vehicle they're going to bring back, they can always put their sticker on whatever vehicle they want.
Sure.
And if they're going to borrow a truck to come back in, they can always put it on whatever vehicle they want. It won't be, we don't check and make sure that sticker is registered to that vehicle at all.
No.
You can always tape your sticker into your window.
Absolutely.
And then if you want to put it on the other vehicle, you tape it in that window and move it over. We do that in Durham with trash stickers that we get with taxes.
I know when I take the sticker off of my car, it's usually destroyed.
No, well, this is like you just leave it on the decal paper.
Oh, you leave it on the decal paper
and
tape it on.
Yeah, and then when you change cars.
But then it'll be backwards.
That would sound like an experience. Yeah.
Then it will actually be backwards, and instead of looking at the blue sticker, you'd be looking at the white side of the sticker. You shouldn't be able to get through. You shouldn't be able to get through.
Oh, the one here? I'm sorry. Then the one in, we do that with trash and dirt.
Okay. Yeah, sure you may.
When I live, on good faith, that this place is going to come all to pieces. And thank God it didn't, and then you guys did a great job while we were gone, keeping us informed, looking after things, and for that we say thank you very much. But when I came back, I brought a truck that don't belong to me, a barter truck. Now, luckily I got here and I didn't need that truck. But had it been a Category 4, when I come back, I would have had a dump truck, probably. Mm-hmm. Right? I can't put one of them stickers in my car and then transfer it to a truck that I bought. A placard, if you hang it on the window or on the mirror or whatever you have to do, would make more sense to everybody coming back if you had a Category 3 come through here and wipe everything out. So you could still get back on the island with a vehicle that's going to do you some good. My Ford Taurus won't haul 2x4s and 2x6s. Well, not many. So, you know,
Okay.
That's the placard would make more sense to me.
Okay.
To be able to have the flexibility to move it around.
Okay. Dennis, you have your hand.
Well, I was just, I don't know how many people would be coming back on with the different vehicle that they left with. And I would assume that you have some other identification and some paperwork that says I have a residence or a business on the island. So you have an alternative to a placard. if you want to avoid the chance of placards being misused. So I'm just saying that people want to come back out with another vehicle. You can't always bring it, you know, you have your identification and you have some paperwork that indicates either a home or a business on the island. It would still get you on. You may have to wait a little bit longer, but it would still get you on.
So we would in your view, we would maintain the speed of a sticker, if with the exception that if you need to bring another vehicle, you can bring alternate identification and proof of address.
Well, we accounted for that because we staffed Mesa World Commons, and if you had that identification, you could get a sticker.
Yes.
We did that after the storm this time. So for those people that, okay, I want to bring my five cars or I want to bring the dump truck, all it took was stopping by Mesa World Commons, except for the first 45 minutes of when the bridge opened. After that, we were pretty much called up, and everyone got stickers that needed stickers. All they had to do was prove that they belonged in Cary Beach, and myself and the rest of council, or a number of council, were sitting up there watching that process, and I don't think anyone waited more than 20 or 30 minutes.
You know, we had that initial rush, and it was basically slow the rest of the time.
Yeah, so about 30 people.
Well, and there were enough of us.
I think whatever process we have, there's going to be some people that either don't follow it or they need a dump truck instead of their normal cars. And I think we have to staff Mason Broad Commons just like we did this time. And we got people back. By the time they got their stickers and got in line, they still waited before they actually got in. I don't think anyone would have got slowed down by the process.
But nobody can get here.
Maybe that's me. You guys were all there too, so I don't know what your thoughts are, but I don't think that. I think for those people that have a different vehicle, whichever process we use, that's always going to be an issue, and we have to be ready for that. We have to be ready to serve them.
What we did, just as a point, if people showed up with proof of residency, we did give them a sticker and allowed them on the island. In some cases, they turned out to be, I don't have this because it's my dad's house, in which case we said, give us your parents' phone number, and we talked to an adult and said, hey, describe your child to me. Right, so that it wasn't just anyway, so we made quite a few phone calls that day to make sure that people were not getting into your property that did not belong at your property. Okay, anybody else have a comment from the Nancy?
One thing that we didn't discuss, and I didn't think at the time, was whether it's going to be mandatory or not. And I think that may be one of the first things council needs to decide. Is this mandatory?
I personally think stickers should be mandatory to speed up the process, the flow of getting people back on the island.
Yeah,
I agree.
I think you can opt not to have a sticker, but then you're going to opt to get in line and get and prove that you belong in this island. So I mean, it could be your choice. Yes, Jim.
I was going to agree with David and then add something that if we get the problem that Florida gets, we're going to still need Masonboro Commons the whole time because we're going to have contractors coming on.
Yeah.
So if you're grabbing a dump truck, swing by Masonboro, you get what you need, and come on the island.
Well, I promise you, stopping at Masonboro Commons would not slow you down for the process we had.
Yeah,
we did keep the prospectors out. We would not allow them in. If they didn't have a client and we called the client and said, are you expecting this contractor? Yeah. We did that too.
We didn't have that problem because there was no security.
Well, there were a few people
who showed up with a water bill or your driver's license at Cary Beach, you were getting a sticker and you were getting right back on the road to get in line to come across the bridge. So it was not a slow process at all.
Okay. Anything else from
community? Yeah. I just have one trivial thing.
Yes.
I don't know what the cost of mailing placards versus the cost of mailing stickers, but I think you probably it's easier to mail stickers than it is placards.
We did look at that. It is cheaper with the stickers. And the stickers are actually cheaper as well. So,
thank you, Lisa.
One thing, when the stickers were sold, they were also registered and co-registered with the license tag or the registration of that vehicle. I'm assuming there's a reason for that.
We discontinued that.
Yeah. And the other
because
thing
nobody's been looking at.
I just didn't know if there was a check.
Yeah. But once you walk out the door and you stick it on the car, we never checked again.
Only other thing is, like when Fran happened, all contractors were required to stop by inspections, and all contractors were required to register then as well as a check and balance.
Yeah, and we had those permits that we handed out some this time. So. Craig, I can live with the stickers. I like the idea of the placards, but if we're going to do Mason Burke Collins, it sounds like we have a consensus of council that the stickers is what Arlen needs to work. So.
I would, I believe that's the, John, you said stickers. I'm at stickers.
Is there anything we need?
Yeah, what do you got?
And so is David. But what were you going to say, Joe?
We're just talking about stickers with this. Is there anything we need to reach out to Carolina Beach now to work with the reentry plan for next year or tweak anything?
Well, we will continue to work with them. Our process is, I think, quicker.
Well, the man who wrote their reentry process is no longer there. So if we want to tweak something, now's the time to do it.
We will have that opportunity. But
with two systems, it still worked fast, and it still was
because it's a category one.
And our people got back on the island because our system was clearly, you see the sticker, you let them come on through.
But they don't need to slow us down.
They did,
because it was a category one.
Yeah, but they
much worse storm would have been a different scenario potentially.
We still had the National Guard. The National Guard was very easy explanation for the National Guard. So, I believe. We have a process. We're going to use stickers by consensus. So, Nancy, let's get some stickers. And
well, just one point to Commissioner Whitley. In the past, with Carolina Beach, we alternated. Ours were blue and white. Theirs were white and blue. And we kept to that until they went to the ID card. So if they go back to stickers, you know, if we look at using different colors, that we need, there needs to be some communication.
Yeah, we certainly will do that. We will not allow them to use our color.
Do we need to reach out to them and tell them what we're doing, not wait for them to contact us? Because we'll never hear from them.
Beach,
so
have a different. So what are you saying? That all the recommendations you're going to follow?
Well, right now we just need to determine if we're going to order placards or stickers, right? And I think we should go through the details. I like most of these details, but we as a council aren't voting on those this evening.
Why don't we come up with this? Why don't, before the next council meeting, Latham, go ahead and order the decals.
Yes.
We'll come up with something that we can vote on. Specific plan. We'll come up with that, and we'll have it at the next council meeting.
Good. Get the stickers, and then we'll see the plan next time.
We'll need a little more guidance at this point, though. One is,
always asking for more.
Process with what the color of the sticker.
Great, yeah.
And then second of all, if we're going to give any out free of charge, like automatically send two out to every property owner, that's going to directly impact how many we have to order. We'll have to order many more than we have in the past.
How many have we ordered in the past? We've never given them all away.
Right, but if we're going to automatically give out two for every
address.
We will hand out a lot more than we have in the past.
That'd be 4,400, right?
Right. I think we typically order about 2,500.
And don't use them all.
We do not use them all. This year we came very close, but we didn't.
We did hand them out right at the...
Can you make a 2-year sticker to make it worth it?
What's that?
Can you make it a 2-year sticker to make it worth it instead of a year?
People swap cars out.
Because then if it says it's good for 19 and 20, then you've got 2 years worth of sticker on your car when you hand them out.
That's something to consider.
So I think it has to change annually. But sorry to disagree with my wife.
Yeah.
You're really good from here, honey. Stay there.
And I think, Arlen, the issue is, so I know you guys have to order them, but I've think council is not clear on whether we're going to charge them or not. I think we need to talk about it in November, so I think even if it costs us a little more money, we need to order enough for two per address, and then we have to figure out what we're going to do with that. The town will just have to deal with the overage. So I think the right thing for staff is to order two per address, and then council at the November meeting will decide whether we're charging for them or whether they just got paid for out of our budget. Do you guys agree with that?
Fine with me.
Fine with me.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Yes.
If you are considering Ocean Dunes in this,
oh yes,
we don't get water bills. The water bill goes to the homeowners association.
Right.
It's one water bill for the whole association. So we don't get any mailings.
We'll have to figure that out.
Yeah, we will have to figure that out. We'll make sure you get whatever you're entitled
to. We'll
know. Thank you for that.
I think most people do well coming over here and paying the $5 and getting the sticker.
The issue is if we have to order a second order, we'll have plenty if they order two per address.
Yeah.
And that's not by water bill, that's by address. So we tax, the county taxes for us. So Arlen knows how many addresses there are, ma'am. So if we just order two per address, we should have plenty. And then if we give them away, we can do a second order in March and still be plenty ahead of the hurricane season.
Okay. 4,400. Or 4,500 if that's the price break, whatever the price break is, Arlen, you go get them.
That's not the end of the world if you 4,400, actually.
Yeah. So, okay. Does that answer your question, Arlen, for now?
I think so.
Okay. All right. Very good. Let's see where we are here. Storm post review with department heads. David, I don't know if you want to talk to that or it's not convenient at this point.
No, I can. One, I apologize for not being there for everyone. Two, the mayor and the department heads and I met on October 12th to talk about this issue. And I'll send a full report out to council after all the department heads weigh in on it. But in short, there were some concerns with issues with the storm that I believe we need to address, and we'll start working on that so that we get it done before next hurricane season. The biggest one was lodging for our staff. We think our new building will fix that issue. And generator issues that happened both down at Fort Fisher with the police department and in the fire department when our 1950s generator from the Department of Defense went down. Fortunately, we had a mechanic to fix it, so I think having power during the storm was an issue for us. But we think both of those will be fixed by our new town hall, so that's the short one. The next one, the police department is looking at our fuel issues. Our fuel plan worked okay for gasoline, but not as well for diesel, which is what powers some of our generators for both water pressure and the sewage systems, the lift stations. So the police department has that as an action item with the lead. So Mike Bowden is leading that with the other department heads to look at should we have a different plan. And we'll be bringing that to council in the budgeting process to fix that issue. Two other big issues. One was the backup communication systems. So I don't know if everyone in attendance knows, but the 911 center went down and I think if you saw the town's updates, both of Verizon and AT&T had issues with the cell phones. At some point during the storm, we were basically on handheld radios from Public Works. Both the police and fire department pointed out that that's not where we should be. We should have a better system. So we'll be looking at that and bringing it to council in the budgeting process as well. And then the last thing was we should look at making the community center a possible backup place. And what that really means is wiring that building for generators so we could use the air conditioning in that building. So we had a really nice building that really didn't have any problems following the storm, but it didn't have any power for 4 days. It would have been really nice if we could have just hooked up a generator to it. So Public Works has that for an action item. So the full report, once all the department heads went in on that email and give me feedback, I'll forward that to all of council, and we'll go through it in detail in probably the January, February time frame, and then once we get to the budgeting process, any issues, assessments, will come up. I think overall, we felt really good with brand new department heads in all three major departments. So both Public Works, Fire, and Police, this was the first hurricane for all three of those departments, and I think they did a great job leading their departments in kind of a challenging issue. We were very fortunate in the storm, but there's some stuff we can fix. We will see changes to our emergency operating plan when we review it in the January, February, March time frame. And I think anything to add, Craig, you were in the meeting with us, but I think that's the highlights until we feedback from all the department heads.
No, I think you hit the needs pretty well. We also looked at what worked, and it's worth mentioning, as you had mentioned, the new department heads provided great leadership. The emergency manager provided great leadership. Communication to the citizens was, I thought, exceptionally good. The leadership team, we didn't only just create a problem for people to watch us. We actually participated in getting some of the work done at the bridge, doing cheerleading, doing the political things, and communicating with Carolina Beach and with the county. The pictures on Facebook was a good thing. The communication with Duke, and Harold Hagler helped quite a bit with that. He knows many of those men, and actually you did as well. So we were able to get our electric grid up very quickly. By and large, I think we have a good list of what needs to be done and what we did well and what we can actually increase and what we did well. So we'll look forward to the detailed report and the necessary budget actions to make it happen. Thank you, David. Anything else? Anybody? Okay. Town app versus Facebook page versus email blast for emergencies for notification. Mr. Whitley.
The biggest thing during the storm was getting the information out and the correct information. A couple things. Email has, what, 1,600 people, Nancy?
Yes.
It's 2,200 homes in town, so obviously people aren't getting it. You would think some of those 1,600 probably don't live here. Vast majority of people are on Facebook. Vast majority of people have smartphones. One conversation we've had in SLAP meetings is a town application. This came up with Mr. Bowden back there. Because just for the simple fact, this came up in the parking discussion. We have a town app that would show where the free parking is in town, so people will know where they can go try to find a parking space. Could also tweak that with some other things, flag, beach conditions with the flags, rip currents. I've spoken with a couple business owners who said they would advertise on it to help offset the cost. The town app would have a charge for it. You'd have to download it to your phone. But it would also have any other information for the town, and during a storm, we could use that to push correct information out. It would be one way for the information to go. People would not be able to comment back. If we did a town Facebook page during a storm, once we go to an emergency situation, that page would be activated. It would have to be manned, probably by Nancy. I'm just kidding, Nancy. But that would also be one way. There would be no commenting on anything. There would be no posting anything. If you paid attention during the storm, the Town of Carolina Beaches page, I'm going to call them out, they would post something, and then there was a lot of rumors and stuff posted that was inaccurate. And that, stuff about the bridge closing. Before the storm, somebody said that there was the military was in Wilmington ready to evacuate 200,000 people. That just scares people. And we would not get into those type of games. The stuff would be written by us or Nancy, whoever. It would be posted. You could not comment on it because it's going to be true. There's going to be no room for discussion. This is what we've done, or the plan we have going forward. This is a conversation we would need to have. The best way to going forward, with the Facebook page, when the situation was over, when the mosquitoes had been sprayed for, the power had been restored, the water's back on, there's a schedule for picking up the debris, then the Facebook page would be taken back down. It would not be up year round. It would only be in an emergency situation. Because again, that kind of, if you're on Facebook, you know what kind of junk goes on Facebook. We're not going to get into that. So that'd be a conversation we'd have to have, maybe get some feedback on what the citizens want.
What's the cost of developing the app?
Well, Craig back there said that he might be able to get UNCW computer science students to help us with that potential.
Yeah, I'm sure that'd be a pretty straightforward thing.
I mean, with the app, you would be looking, you know, if you pay 99 cents to download it or $1.99, it's on your phone. It would have to be updated. Someone like Jack Mackles could put their daily specials on it. Of course, that would all come with a cost. The Facebook page would be free, but again, that's limited to the storm. And then the email blast, we would probably need to come up with some way to try to get more people to sign up for it. Even though the email blast did great during the storm, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback on it, nothing negative. And then the pictures we posted to Facebook, other than me being inundated with requests to go view people's houses and 37 friend requests that I did not accept, you know, the Facebook page worked pretty well. But, you know, we had a lot of positive feedback on that, but I didn't need my Facebook page lit up.
Okay. Any comments, John?
Might be a conversation we have over the next few months.
Any thoughts?
Well, I personally would prefer the app.
We would be a cutting-edge beach town if we got the app, because no other beach towns have an application like that.
Well, we get 1,600 people and it's for free. How many do you think we get when you pay for it?
Well, you know.
I'm just trying to be practical.
There's negatives to every one of these. Facebook, it's not going to be year-round. You could potentially somebody get upset because it's not year-round. The app, there's a cost. Email, we don't reach everybody. But, I mean, I think email probably would be the smartest in the long run, but there's other options out there. We need to kind of decide which way we want to go. To reach the most people.
And putting a push on to advertise the email blast, like at Oceanfront Park, Nikki talks to the people and introduces the band on Sunday afternoon, make a little pitch about how effective the email is, and you don't have to go anywhere. You can sign up for it online itself. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's 400 people that don't have an email to get a town email delivered to. I don't know. But you would think, as positive as the feedback was on the storm about the Curie Beach email, maybe it's actually going to increase anyway.
Well, more than one way to communicate might be helpful. David, did you want to say something?
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I hope it's pretty better than paying for stuff. I think one of the things that I would like them to investigate is telling all the local news, making them subscribe to our email update, right? Because, you know, one of the things that I heard was, well, no one said anything about Curie Beach on the news. I'm like, well, you know, it's not like those reporters had to work real hard to figure it out. All they had to do was go to our website, and it pretty much said, here's what we're doing. And yet, somehow they couldn't figure that out. So I don't know how to reach out to the local news, but you know, Carolina Beach seemed like working to get interviews. I'm not saying that had anything to do with their town manager's demise, but working to get interviews, and we were like, you know, we're telling our citizens this, but we're not really trying to talk to the guys in Australia, because that's not what we're doing, right? And so from my standpoint, I think we need to work on telling our citizens, look, this is how we will communicate to you, because we're not going to spend your tax dollars to communicate to the rest of the world. Our job is to communicate to you, and then I think we do need to reach out to all the local news and say, guys, you know, here's our information path. Why aren't you guys looking at it? Because, I mean, you know, I don't expect reporters to work really hard, but Jesus, all I had to do was log into our website and they knew exactly what was happening to Curie Beach, I think.
Okay. So, makes sense.
I mean,
the media does use our website, a lot of them are signed up. I mean, you'll see, I'll put something on the website and it's on the news that night. So they are very familiar with
okay.
taking things off the world.
Okay. All right. What do you want to do with this, Joe?
That's really up to y'all, which way you want to go. I mean, there's arguments you made for each, and then negatives with each. I mean, I would prefer, I would like more people to be on the email, but, you know, some of those posts on Facebook got 1,000.
I
just don't know. I mean,
we need to. The Facebook thing during a storm is worthwhile, right? So I think we do need to add that to our plan, because I think it did help people to show them here's where the town is, right? So what Commissioner Whitley did on day two or three, they all run together out of the storm, was very valuable for us. And saying on our email, look, here's where we're posting stuff, was good for a lot of people. It let people see, okay, what they're saying is true, my house is okay, or here's what's happened. So I agree with Joe. At least for a storm, we should think about how are we going to post pictures after the storm so people understand where they are. I think we do need to add that to our plan somehow. I just don't like paying for stuff, right? So you can make a Cherry Beach Hurricane Florence webpage on Facebook and post a bunch of pictures as you're driving around, right? And then, you know.
Let me use that with your email.
People commenting or whatever. Yeah, and then the email directs them where to go, and people know, okay, I can go look and see how it looks. Because I thought that was valuable, Joe, so, you know, I'm with you. I just don't want to spend taxpayer money on something when there's so many free options. I think we should ask the citizens how we should do it.
We have a citizen ready to speak. Go ahead.
I was an evacuee.
Yes.
And I got my Kiri Beach emails, and they were wonderful. I also signed up to that Carolina Beach Town Facebook to see their pictures and what was going on there. So if we had a Kiri Beach Hurricane Facebook page that was just limited to that as an evacuee, I would have looked at ours and not at Carolina Beach. But my Kiri Beach information I got from you from your email, but I would have liked the Facebook page that was just available during the storm with information for folks who are Kiri Beach owners.
Okay.
May or may not use an app on my phone. I would look at Facebook.
Okay. Any other views?
Since I don't live here year round, when, you know, every now and then I'll take the Kiri Beach thing off my phone so that I have more room in my phone when it tells me I'm now, you know, up to the limit. So I take that off, but when I heard there was a storm coming, I'm like, I put it back on and they send me all the stuff I needed. And so, you know, but I did go to Facebook to see if there was a page for it. But that's why you do have some people that might seem to not be signed up, but like I knew it was available.
The emails
were available. And they came back as soon as I signed up for them again.
Jim.
If we were to ever get a drone, Facebook would be about the only way we could do it.
That was my line of thought, because you can't put all that out in an email.
Yeah.
So there needs to be another solution. And I'm not sure which is the best. I'd have to look to our programming professional, let's put it that way. See what would work there. If you would think this through a little more and come back with a recommendation, Joe, as to which one you think would be suitable and adequate and low cost and friendly to the people.
Why does it have to be one?
Doesn't have to be just one.
Well, we would continue with the email.
Yeah,
but
the emails
then if you do the app,
what?
You're going to have a cost potentially associated with that. If you do Facebook, there isn't necessarily a cost.
There's no cost.
So,
what's the cost of the app?
But we will not stop the email blasts. We will continue with that and probably put that information on whatever the other solution may be.
Well, my staff can do that research for you if you want, because to me, our cost is staff time. We're having to update 6 different things and keeping in contact with who's giving us the information
and what, because not all information will fit. Like, we just signed up for texting. Well, who's going to reduce this note to 224 characters for texting? So I don't mean cost that way, but there are some behind the scenes things that have to be talked about. But we can certainly talk with our, we've been looking to update our website anyway. I think there's a way we can feed things to Facebook. I don't know if there's a way we can feed it.
All right.
To an app.
And of course, Ken, if we lose the internet, none of us
can. None of us going anywhere. Well, last time we went to use Carolina Beach's internet because we did lose our internet.
Yeah.
But we found a way to communicate anyway. Can I ask you, Joe, to speak with Mandy and Nancy and come up with a recommended solution in addition to emails?
Okay.
And I think you'll probably have the support of council.
Okay.
Proposed text amendment, Chapter 19, zoning signs.
I believe this is just a consistency statement for what you've already looked at, which is the HOA.
Right.
I think it's just a consistency statement.
Now you have to decide whether you're going to adopt the amendment or not.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So it's that and the consistency statement from the public hearing.
So we had our public hearing.
I make a motion that we adopt the amendment as was presented at our by the P&Z.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. No opposed. Unanimous. Okay. Thank you, P&Z.
One more question.
All right. And I'll make a motion that we adopt the associated zoning consistency statement as it was presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Okay. Parking update. Mr. Whitley.
It's really not a lot to update. We're going to have two public information sessions on November the 5th, which is a Monday night from what time? 6:30 to 8?
Yeah.
6:30 to 8, and then on November the 10th, which is a Saturday morning from 9 to 11, 10:30, 2 hours.
Yeah, 9 to 11.
9 to 11. Just to go over the changes that we're going to look at implementing for next year, and just get feedback on where we stand with the process. I and E are paved. On the I and E avenues, the medians are going to be marked and bumpered up. That's all gotten pushed back, of course, with the storm, so that should all be done by next spring. 6th Avenue, we're going to bumper. Hopefully people from 6th Avenue will show up, because I'd love to get some feedback from them. And anything else?
Well, there was some we were looking at for resident-only parking. There were some areas where we would add them to the community. There were some areas we were going to add public parking on 421. Yeah. And on a few of the large streets.
17 spaces, yeah.
So when we have this meeting on the 5th and the 10th, there will be pictures with identification areas to tell you what we're planning on parking. But before that is implemented, we certainly would be hearing from the community. So November 5th, 6:30 to 8, November 10th, 9 to 11, come in and take a look at what we're planning on doing for next year's parking. It's not overly creative, but it is new parking.
Still all free? For now.
For now, yeah. So.
Is this a council meeting?
No.
No, it's just going to be, we will have commissioners here, either probably Commissioner Whitley or myself, who were involved in this process. Probably Ken Richardson and maybe the police chief.
Oh, yeah.
And others who are engaged in coming up with this. Town facility construction project update, Mr. Oliver.
Okay, we got a couple things to talk about tonight. You all received the most recent update on the project. Our contractor has adjusted the completion date till January the 4th, which basically added another month onto it because of the storm and rain delays, and we're very comfortable with approving that and giving him that additional time. To be quite honest with you, it took them a while to get the sub back on the job because they were all over the place, having evacuated and having other issues and stuff. So today we made a lot of progress. As y'all can see, the new doors are up on the bays, and the interior of the bays have been, the apparatus area has been painted. Curb and guttering started putting down today to outline the parking lot, so you can see more of that. And from the standpoint of the project, we're going very smoothly and everything's on track. One of the bigger issues that we had was getting Duke or their subcontractor in here to run the power from the pole over to the building and to our new services for the at the old fire department and at town hall. Because once they go into storm mode, they don't do new construction. So they were on site Friday, and the cables, all the electrical cables have been run to the buildings. They just have to hook them up and get them energized. So that's been a big problem we've had. Once that, they can get on with the finished details of the fire department. So feel very comfortable where we are right now.
Okay.
We do have a couple of change orders that we need your consideration for tonight. One is, and Nancy, can you pull up that floor plan? If you can't, that's fine. We have a change order to increase the size of one of the administration offices, requested by the town clerk, in addition, an amount of $6,463. It basically takes out a hallway and blocks off and does away with the exterior door that we had. And it adds more space. Basically makes an office go from 10 foot 9 and a half, 10 9 and a half by 12 5 and 5/8 to 10 9 and a half by about 16 feet. So and it was in your agenda packets, guys.
It's page 54, I think.
The biggest cost in this change order is the electrical. As you see that office right there, it takes out a wall. And it's turned, see where it says turn 90 degrees, that's the office where it's being enlarged. And we're taking out an exterior door at the top over on the right hand side where it says relocate. It will make that office more functional for staff, and it did, that hallway dead ends. It doesn't cause us any issue with fire code or anything at all. And it actually gives us a place for a bulletin board underneath the overhang of the front of town hall. Nancy,
what,
did I leave
what
you
was
out?
What was the point of the door there?
I think it was just a point of egress, wasn't it, John?
There's always a door on that side of town hall. I believe they just followed with that design.
Okay.
Well, I had requested it to come into an office. I had not requested it to come into a hallway where nobody in that section can see the door. I don't know where the hallway came from. I don't remember that in any of our discussions. But that, because it's a problem for security for staff when we have, you either have to keep it locked all day and we're up and down opening the door with that hallway there. And they seem to think it would be easier to take the wall out and close that off. And then that would give us the space under for, we have to, by law, have a public posting board. Right now, we're going to have to put it out in the parking lot somewhere, and it's going to cost us $3,000 or $4,000 to buy one and put out. This allows us to put it under the overhang, and it's protected.
That's an offsetting cost.
That first change order is $6,463. And
And you say it adds security and eliminates an outside bulletin board.
It allows for an outside bulletin board. the way the town hall is now, it's all windows underneath that you walk under the mm-hmm. porch. Before, that was wall, and we had the bulletin boards out there. But now it's all windows along that front, so there's nowhere to put any kind of posting board. It's preferable to have it under some kind of cover out in the parking lot. It's, you know, right with the elements and the rain. And
okay. So your recommendation is to take the door out of there, expand the office, and reduce the cost of the outside.
Yeah, that's
public
money
board,
that's money we won't have to spend on that outside bulletin.
Right. Okay.
Information area.
Okay.
If you want to, I'll go through both the change orders and talk about our change order budget first, if you'd like for me to. The next change order is an amount of $8,864.46, and that adds automatic door openers at the double door going into council chambers for handicap entrance, and also at the police department at their main entrance going into their reception area. And basically, this wasn't required for by any type of code requirements, because our front door already had the push button on it going into the, you know, where you pay your water bill in the lobby area. But this would, we realized this at some point. I don't remember what date we realized it, but we asked them to come up with the cost, and it's got the automatic door openers. Again, most of the cost is in the openers and in the push buttons and the wiring of it. Now, those two change orders there, our current change order budget is very healthy. We're coming down to final changes. We do have a couple more things to come to you that we know is coming, a couple with storm drains, landscaping, and some changes in some exterior siding that we do not have a cost estimate on right now. And also, we're going to add some soundproofing in the police department. So we've got a few more change orders coming in, but right now we have a minus these, not counting these change orders, we have around $148,000 left in our change order budget. So we're in good shape there. We've been very frugal on what change orders we've done, so we can afford this very easily within the budget of the project and stay within budget and within our cost estimate for our budget for the project.
Do you have a recommendation, Alan?
Yeah, I recommend that we do both of these. They're very, very, very needed, and the we would want them to say not to exceed these amounts, and I feel like possibly if our contractor is given that leeway, he may be able to save us a little money there, okay. Especially on that office building, if they do some of the demolition themselves. From their crews, we might be able to save a little money.
Okay. David, any comment on this? I don't know if you can really see it well.
No, I heard it all. No, and I looked at it in the agenda. Make a motion we approve both change orders as presented.
Second.
Okay. Motion and
second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Mr. Mayor, if you could sign those.
Sign them this evening.
So she could send them home so we can have those to the contractor tomorrow.
I'll sign them this evening.
Thanks, Alan. Great job, sir.
Good job.
And if you hadn't noticed, the backflow preventer is gone. That ugly thing.
It looks nice.
We're working on the flagpole location tomorrow morning.
Okay. Moving on to discussion and consideration of new business, trying to get everybody out of here. Stormwater community flooding. Mr. Allen, you've been patient.
Good evening. A couple of nice folks that are Cherry Beach residents met with me to talk about flooding during the storm. And they live on Cutter Court. Right there. I'll talk about the map in a moment. There is drainage from parts of Carolina Beach and parts of Curie Beach that go to a ditch known as Henniger's Ditch. Well, George C. Henniger lived here from 1876 to 1955. And when this ditch was created to drain water to the Cape Fear River, it crossed his land. So it became known as Henniger's Ditch. That ditch, after Sunny Point, became got its mission and captured land over here on our island. That ditch is in the buffer zone for Motsu. So there's a little bit of background. Now, if I may, this is Cutter Court, runs along here into this cul-de-sac, and there are a couple of drains about down in here, four or five houses from the end of the cul-de-sac, another drain down in the cul-de-sac, and those, you know, like the grate, and the water goes down, connects through piping, and runs out to Henniger's Ditch, and then into the river. Now, around 2:30 or so in the morning, some of those residents noticed that the water had backed up. And the problem was the drains had collected debris. So they were out there. I don't know why they didn't evacuate. They're not here to explain that. So. But they cleared out the drains, and their wording when we met for coffee was like pulling the plug out of a bathtub. You know, just it worked great. They cleaned the drain covers, the water receded, and went out. Well, it kept raining, kept raining, kept raining. By 6 o'clock in the morning, the drains were clear, except the water backed up into their yards, and I think a couple of these houses got a little bit of water in the, on the driveway and maybe even on that first floor. Now, Henniger's Ditch and some of was in our area redug and expanded, made bigger, deeper in the 05 time frame, 2005. Then about later than that, in the early teens, they redid the interior of the pipe, like cleaned out all of the piping to help that. So that's kind of Cherry Beach. Now, this was the ditch along here, it goes out, was originally built during the Depression by the WPA guys. So that goes way back. And it was originally built to drain the overflow from this lake. And we know that's had a problem all the way since then. Okay. This yellow line, or at least from the lake to here, was a 2016 project by Carolina Beach to add a bigger pump, and they had two drains out of this lake, but the pump was only operational for one size, so that it could only feed one of the drains. So they put in a bigger pump, some more drainage, a new 16-inch pipe, and now in 2016, they created, this is all underground piping to get water to the Motsu territory, into the buffer zone, over to, this is 3rd Street, this is Birmingham, goes down and then connects to Sumter. Well, right after Sumter, the ditch begins. This is piping. This is all piping. And then right after you go under the road here, the ditch. And I took some pictures of that ditch, and you can see that new pipe is about, it's higher than the two lower ones. So there's three pipes that come out and feed Henniger's Ditch that runs down the road. Now, when I was doing this with my magic finger on the computer to make this happen, actually, I think the ditch is this darker line right in here that comes down and then goes across. But anyway, the ditch is here. There is some concern by the Curie Beach folks that, well, since they put this in 16 up in Carolina Beach, it overwhelmed our drainage and potentially caused Curie Beach water to back up because now more water was coming out of their lake. Well, the original process was to drain this lake using Henniger's ditch. They come together right here, and that's why that's green, because yellow and blue make green if you do the eye chart. Again, all buffer zone property. So what are our options? And I wrote that down somewhere where I thought the options were. You can do nothing. Pray that we don't get a lot of rain again. Some folks may think 3 days of constant rain caused the backup. Some people may think the project in 2016 with Carolina Beach overwhelmed the ditch and caused the backup in ours. Some people may think we just had too much going. Now, this is not the only water that goes into Henniger's ditch. And this is not the only water that goes into Henniger's ditch. There's other water that flows toward the river that joins all of that. I'm just trying to explain what the good citizens were talking to me about. And is there something that can be done, a plan for the future, that if we were to have another one of these 3+ days of heavy rain, are we going to flood again? Or is that area going to flood again? The folks that talked to me, one of the man and woman, the woman has some background and experience in writing proposals for grants, and she is willing to do that, to look at doing a grant to redig the ditch, work on the ditch. That's about the only way to make that better. Coordinating with, you know, we could turn this over to Mr. Whitley in his work with Matsu regarding the land use plan. We're certainly going to have to coordinate with those folks. You can't go out and start digging in that ditch because it's on their property. You can't clear trees because that's part of the buffer zone requirement. So it becomes a lot of issues. Since we meet Carolina Beach right here, what if we came out and just cut directly to the river? We have our own Curie Beach ditch to the river. That's one option. Coordinating with these folks or have them have a Carolina Beach only option to get to the river.
Can we call it the Jim Dugan ditch?
Well, we have a naming committee. We'll.
I thought I was going to name a sewage pipe.
Where I am with you gentlemen is I'm open to ideas. You know, we can talk about doing the ditch. We can talk about waiting for more rain. We can coordinate with Matsu, coordinate with Carolina Beach. I think you got to do all that anyway.
Can I get that picture emailed to me?
Mr. Mayor, can I speak?
Absolutely, David. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think the first thing to do, the right thing to do for the town, is to get a map of all the properties that actually had water from the 28 inches of rain that night. And while I hear the citizens, John, that told you that they were the only ones cleaning ditches, I can tell you Public Works and I were out there that whole night, all around those areas, cleaning out the stormwater drains. So you know, in the 28 to 30 inches of rain that we had that night, it wasn't just citizens. So, you know, I know you didn't mean that, but I just want to make sure
right.
for everyone there. Public Works was definitely out that night. I saw the mayor that morning. I was standing on stormwater drains that were basically drawn as hard as they could and watching the water rise because it was raining so hard. So that's the first issue. So I think for the town, what we need to do is let John and Jimmy bring us a map of here's the properties that actually had the worst water. And by the worst water, I mean actually got in houses. So I think the last time I talked to John, it was 20 to 30 homes that we think were impacted by rising rainwaters. Is that sort of correct, John? I know you're there somewhere.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
He's shaking his head, yes.
Yeah, and so I think the first thing to do is put that on a map and then show where the stormwater services those 20 or 30 homes that actually got damaged with the 28-plus inches of water. I don't know exactly how much it was. It was a whole bunch. And then once we know those homes that actually got water in those homes, then we should look at the stormwater systems that service those, and we have an engineer that can tell us, here's your problems, right? So while here for those citizens, Jennifer's dish may or may not be the real issue, right? And so I think once it's put on a map and then Brian Cox looked at it and says, well, you know, these 15 homes, Jennifer's dish is probably the problem, or actually it's this pond right here is just the problem, or whatever it is, he knows our stormwater system, and once you highlight those 30 properties, it'll tell you where our real problems are, because we're going to have to make a decision on how much money we're going to spend to handle stormwater, right? So our system was designed for an inch and a half of water in a certain amount of time. That's how all the systems in North Carolina are designed. When you get the water that we got that night, the systems eventually fail, and then it becomes where's the low points, right? So once those are on the map, they can tell us. And if they say Jennifer's ditch is the issue, then the next step is to look to Carolina Beach. Was Carolina Beach the problem or not? We shouldn't just assume because a citizen knows about Jennifer's ditch, which I played in as a kid, that that's the problem. We should put all the information down, let John Batson tell us where those 35 homes are or whatever it is, the real homes, on a map, and then let Jimmy and Brian Cox tell council, you know, these are the stormwater systems to service those. If that shows us the Jennifer's ditch, then the next step is to say, okay, Brian, go look at what Carolina Beach changed in 2016 and tell us what to do, right? And from my standpoint, you know, I'm sorry I haven't had time in the last 5 weeks, I guess, from the storm. God, it's fast. To deal with this, but I think that's what we should do is let our experts review the data and bring back in November what there is there. And then we're going to have to make a decision on, okay, what are we going to spend on the next phase of stormwater corrections, right? So we've spent a lot of money over the last 5 years in stormwater. Jimmy is responsible to tell us as council, here's my recommendation for next. And I think that should start with John and Brian Cox and Jimmy sitting down and looking at what really got damaged during this storm, because this was the biggest event in my lifetime. I talked to my dad. He says it's the biggest rain event in his lifetime, and he's a lot older than me. So, you know, from that, okay, where should we work? So that's my proposal is for Jimmy, John Buchanan, and Brian Cox to look at the damaged properties and tell us here's where we think your problem is. Because that'll highlight it. Once you put it on a map, it's going to say, these seven properties got water in them. You know, the people who got water in their yard, including me, okay, you got water in your yard. But if you got in your house, that's a bigger issue. We should work to fix that. And we need to find those 30 or 40 properties, put them on a map, and say, these are the stormwater systems that service that, and these are the ones we got to look at. That's my opinion to council. That's my recommendation to council. Is we have direct John Batson to work with Jimmy and Brian Cox and come back to us with where they think our problem areas are based on the damage that actually happened during the storm and was reported to the building inspector.
Okay. Jane?
The Sloop Point Lane, which runs parallel to Cutter Court, Ashley, which is the small half-block area that connects Blue Point and Cutter, about 3 weeks before the hurricane, there was a heavy rainstorm. I came back to the island and turned off macro on the settlers and then on the Sloop Point to go to my house on Cutter. Sloop Point was so flooded that I would not drive my SUV down that street. So I backed up and went around settlers to come in the other way on Cutter. Cutter was not flooded. Now I don't know if it was because debris was in the drain or two drains on Sloop Point, but that's another area that floods every time there's heavy rain. But the houses sit higher at Ashley and Sloop Point, so you probably don't get complaints of water in those houses. But flooding at that area is a chronic problem.
You get overland water from Sloop Point over the lots into Cutter Court?
No.
No? You don't?
It stays there on Sloop Point.
Okay.
The problem is at the end of Cutter in the cul-de-sac. It's down near our house. Our house sits up high, so water has never gotten into our house. It's gotten halfway up our driveway. But two of our neighbors, at least two, have had water in their first floor, damaging their floors and furnishings.
Okay.
So they're the ones that have come in contact with John. And it has happened every time there's a storm or a very heavy rain.
Okay, I think what we have is what I was interested in when I had John, when I asked John to take on this project, was to come up with a recommendation. And I like the recommendation that we received from David. Any comment on that, or are we ready to proceed and ask John and Jimmy to plot those properties, and then we can take a look at them with Brian Cox?
I agree with David's comments. That'd be a good place okay. to next direction to go. Yep.
All right. We have consensus for that action. We'll go ahead and take that action. David, thank you.
Certainly, sir. No, I mean, it's still staff work, but
yeah.
I think our responsibility is to make sure it doesn't get into people's properties and
right.
then continue to make it better.
Absolutely.
Can I just clarify, is it homes that have water in their homes?
Or yes.
Or had excessive flooding in the streets?
No. We want to identify each home that had flooding in the home, and when we have that mapped, we'll ask Brian Cox to take a look at it and see what systems feed it and what potential issues there could be. And if that leads us to Heinecker's Ditch, then we'll have a bigger discussion about Heinecker's Ditch, or we'll have a discussion about what other actions could we take to help reduce community flooding. Not necessarily individual flooding, but community flooding. Okay, Nancy? All right. Coastal storm damage reduction update. Yeah, anything you want to add, Alan?
Just quickly, the bids are supposed to open September 21st. The Corps of Engineers postponed that. Those documents. They flew a drone for survey and took surveys of the beach to see how much actual beach we lost. And they were going to change the numbers and get it back out on the street by mid-October, hopefully opening bids by the end of the month or the 1st of November, and continue on to do our project or our event, as they say, in December and January.
Okay.
I'll forward the information on to council as we receive more information.
All right. Did they happen, what were they looking at, 30,000 additional cubic
yards,
I think?
Yeah, I think that's what it was, about 30,000 additional cubic yards.
Good. We could use the extra
sand.
And possibly
expanding the, we don't know all the details yet, but.
Okay, great. November council meeting, Tuesday the 20th, that is, what is that, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving? And your question is, do we want to move that? How do you all look for Tuesday the 20th, November? You going to be here?
I'm the next item is having lunch on the 21st.
Yeah, I was going to do this one. I was going to do this one and then get to that one.
Well, I was going to say, we're going to have an appreciation lunch on the 21st. We'll be here for the 20th to have the council.
Good. I like that logic.
Yep.
I'm good.
You're good? Okay, we're good. We're going to hang on to the 20th. Good. And then the celebration and appreciation luncheon. We have an appreciation luncheon on the 21st, and that was scheduled for noon. My comment and for consideration of council is that we start at 11 and make that also the celebration of the work that was done during the hurricane. To that, we would add 11 business owners who supported us with housing, with hotel room options, with food, with fuel, with the types of things that we needed desperately during that four-day duration of the hurricane. So my thought is to expand that, start at 11 that day, have the appreciation luncheon, and tie it in with the department heads to an appreciation event for our people who worked very hard before, during, and after the hurricane. There was no easy period of time in that particular time. That would include some t-shirts, which I think you guys will select tonight, that we will give to our Curry Beach Warriors who withstood the storm event. Any comments?
I like your plan, Mayor.
All right.
Sounds good.
And I vote on this.
You prefer the Warriors one?
I do.
Okay.
Being an old warrior.
Being an old warrior. Unfortunately, our friend David can't see these, so I would like each of you to give you a...
All right.
I would like each of you to give your opinion to Nancy.
Doesn't matter to me.
Okay, doesn't matter to you? All right. Doesn't matter to Joe.
Warriors.
Warriors. It's the Warriors.
So, was there a motion to...
Yes, we're going to go right to that right now. I move we have the celebration event and the appreciation luncheon at the same time, starting at 11 o'clock on the 21st of November, inviting 11 business owners and citizens who participated in helping us during the storm event, and provide the warrior shirts to all the staff, actually.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
When you say shirts for the staff and these business and the helpers and...
Yes. Okay. Yes. I went through the list of the businesses that helped us. You guys are can happily review that, and if there's any that need to be added, just let us know. Mayor updates. Ocean Dunes, we're working with Ocean Dunes to come back open on their oceanfront properties. Don't need to give you more detail on that right now. Any commissioner items?
No. The policy meeting for MOTSU is November the 19th.
Right.
So if they meet concerning this flooding and ditch issue, I can bring that up at that meeting if needed.
Okay, that's an important point.
I have one.
Yes, John.
Any
Alan said no. He's
I
done.
Said no. I asked Nancy to bring up this website. Got a letter from the MPO today, actually this morning, from Mr. Kolowski. They're seeking giving the public the opportunity to comment and help influence the future transportation needs in the state of North Carolina. At this website, you can take a survey and provide feedback, and there's an interactive map of the state of North Carolina, and you can go and pick out a spot. And I know we heard a lot of folks talk about, why did 95 flood? Why did 40 flood? Why did some of the major roads? You could comment on that. The key is safety, better connection to key destinations within the state, better connectors for jobs, better transit overall, and again, keying on safety. What I would brought it up is to ask permission to develop a little blurb to put on our website so people could link from Curie Beach to this opportunity to take the survey.
Good plan.
I like that plan. David, any comment?
No, sounds awesome to me.
All right, Joe. No, let's go ahead and do that. We cannot afford to be an island without food and fuel, which is what we seem to be after hurricanes around here.
And it's only, they're going to keep it up through the end of November, so I didn't want to bring it up at the November
meeting. Yeah, no, that's fine. Would you like to give us a motion, John?
I'll make a motion that we allow me to work with Nancy to develop something for our website to link to their website.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That takes care of the commissioner items. Anything else? Oh, adjournment. I'm sorry. I got too excited. My mistake. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right. You have a motion?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
For a quick interview.
What do you want to talk about?
Just what we talked about.